Good morning.
Welcome to this place. It's time to celebrate the presence and the activity of God in our midst, in our lives. A special welcome to many of you who are newcomers or visitors in our midst. A special welcome to Mary Best, former moderator of the United Church of Canada, who's here to speak and lead a workshop. The gift of elder. So welcome, Mary. We'll say that you'll hear more about that in a little while. Well, we enjoy coming before God and coming together, singing together. And we sang this a little while ago, and somebody said, can we sing that again? Maybe even on the 25th of March?
Hear music in the air, hold my hand.
can't imagine why they wanted us to sing that again. I just... There is music in the air. You know, as I was driving to this place on this incredible day, I mean, music for me is a metaphor for so many other things and for life in the spirit. And to drive with the sun coming down, I didn't need to hear a note. And there was music in the air. It is a blessed day, and God is here. And we are here. Friends in the faith who have heard the same tune speak in the air and in our minds and in our souls. And we've come together because that music has called us to this place. And we are pilgrims together, followers of the singer, Jesus. Let's join in singing. We are pilgrims, and you can stay seated for this. We have a wee tiny baby whose last name is Pacamara, whose first name I don't even know yet. Sorry? Angeline. So welcome, Angeline. Born a week and 2 days ago. Isn't that amazing? So you'll all get your turn. So don't all rush over there right now. It's a beautiful thing to be community together and to share one another's joys and sorrows and to experience the weaving together of the community as it actually happens in the moment. So welcome all of you to this place. I invite you to take a moment of quiet to become fully present and aware of God's holy presence in our midst. And as you see the symbols of our faith, firstly the Christ candle, come into your peripheral vision, I'd invite you to just stand and, and greet the light of Christ and the symbols of our faith. Someone in your life who has taught you something about what it means to be a Christian, about how to live it well and deeply and richly, call that person to mind. Have you had someone maybe still living, maybe someone who has died, who didn't actually tell you but showed you by the way that they dealt with adversity, by the hope that lived within their eyes, that God is here and life is precious and you are precious in the sight of God? Is there someone in your life, even now, who looks to you to know what Christianity means, how to be a follower of Jesus, how to live it well? Friends, welcome to the body of Christ, the community of followers of Jesus here and now, the web spun by God's Spirit. This community, we, us here, and beyond time and beyond space, is now and forever connected to all those who have gone before us and all those who will come after. The Spirit of God is right now spinning a luminous web. Come, let us celebrate. Let us worship. Amen. Please be seated. And every day, God spins that web anew with new branches and new pieces. And what a lovely thing to include a new person in this body of Christ in this place. What a celebration. Are there other things that you come to this place with gratitude and celebration in your heart for and would include in prayer today? Marilyn.
Thank you. I'd like to say a special thank you to everyone who came to the Community Day yesterday. I think it was quite a successful day, and I want to also, on behalf of the Pastoral Care Committee, thank people who also worked hard to put that day on. And also a special thank you to the Junior Youth Group, who did a superb job of serving the lunch, which was delicious soup and fruit and so on. And it was just, everything was served up so beautifully. Many of the people were commenting on how delicious the soup was. And a special thank you to that group. So thanks a lot.
Any other celebrations, gratitude that you bring today? Louise, welcome back.
The fact that I am now moved into my new home, officially. The building inspector came on Monday and was almost as excited as I am about the place. So it's good.
Great, and nice to see you here. Other celebrations. And we also bring concerns, bring things that weigh heavy on our hearts. Are there things that you would bring before God and trust to God in this place? People, situations? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Scott's among us. Scott lost his grandmother this last week, and so we'll hold you and your family in our prayers today. Agnes. Agnes's daughter Susan was diagnosed with breast cancer this week, and so we'll hold her and Susan in, and their family, in prayer. Yeah. Any others? Well, look who's here.
Hi, I'm Doug Lobb, and I'm celebrating two things. First is simply being here among you again. It's a great joy to see this place like this. And secondly, to celebrate the fact that Chris and I have just spent a little more than a week with my mother, who is very with it and quite well for 102 years old.
I would just like to announce that my wife, Marg, Alexis, Ross, and I are going to visit my mother in Toronto for Easter. She's 94 years old. Sorry, I can't top that. And she's with it, too. Oh, just one thing, one tiny little prayer for us. We have Air Canada tickets. Please pray for us.
Well, Journey Mercies on that, Paul. Anyway, David.
Thank you, Will. Thank you all. You probably heard that I had some medical problems recently, and I was exceptionally well cared for at Surrey Memorial Hospital. And the process since then, I wrapped up all the exams and MRIs and things in less than 2 weeks. That's service that most people don't even know about. But this morning as I was waking, I hadn't yet opened my eyes, but I was getting a real fluttering. And I thought, oh, good Lord, what is this? So I immediately started to sing, Jesus loves me, just spontaneously. Right at the word Jesus, it all stopped right then and there. Praise God.
Cindy.
I know, Paul, you're flying Air Canada. Janice and I are flying to Winnipeg on WestJet to spend Easter with my mom and family.
There will be Easter services here. Yes. Well, we celebrate a lot, and we come also with hearts heavy for a variety of different reasons. But Let's gather all that we bring today and prepare ourselves to entrust it to God in prayer in a moment of quiet. Gracious God, we thank you for the amazing day that you have created. And we rejoice and give thanks. We give you thanks for so many ways in which you weave us together into community. Not only in this place, but with people of faith all over the world. We give you thanks for the dazzling diversity of the human family and the many ways we learn how to be fully human as we follow Jesus and as we watch others who follow others. Guide us in our faith. Strengthen us in our hope. Embolden us in our love for you and for one another. We pray for all those who struggle with sickness or grief or loneliness. Hear our prayer for those we have named in this place, who we have named throughout the week, and all those who will go named only in the quietness of our own hearts. Gracious God, you have called us to be bold followers of the power of love in this world. And we give you all our prayers. We give you ourselves. And we give you this time of worship, that it might shine with your grace through Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray together the words that we now sing. Writer once wrote, "Where can I go from your spirit, O God? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there." Friends, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what our life circumstance, no matter what our past, our present, indeed our future, you are always in the presence of healing, forgiveness, steadfast love, which endures forever. This is the good news of God's grace. Thanks be to God.
I invite all and anyone that'd like to come up and join me for today's theme conversation time. Wondering if anyone here knows their grandma or grandpa. Anybody? A little quick survey. Anybody? How about out there? Does anyone have a grandparent or a grandma or grandpa? Pardon?
A living one.
A living one. Yes. Anybody out there? How about, is anybody a grandparent? Lots, yeah. And I'm sure there's some of us that had grandmas or grandpas that have now passed away. I'm in that boat. Anybody else? Yeah. Well, your mom's dad died. Yeah. I'm wondering, for those of you who have a grandma or grandpa, do you see them often? Do they live close by? Yeah, some do, some don't. Does anyone have their grandma or grandpa on the same street or in the same house? No. Oh. Okay, how do we communicate with our grandparents? Yeah. Use the phone, yeah. Oh, the computer webcams, yeah, like Skype, yeah. Marshall? Email, yeah. Video chatting, yeah. Say it again. Write a card, yes. Yeah, send a card, yes. You can have FaceTime, like you can be with them in person. Yeah. What about special places? When my grandma was alive, we used to, just her and I, would go for a walk in a garden near her house. That was our special time together. Do any of you have special places? Just you and grandpa or you and grandma? On the couch watching movies, yeah. In the kitchen making cookies, yeah. Recently, I was talking to a teen here, and he spent the weekend with his grandparents, and I said, how was your time away? And he said, full of warmth and tea. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. I have one more thing. I'm wondering if you have seen something really, really old in your grandparents' house. Like an old phone or, yeah. A photo, yeah, photo. When your mom was little, yeah. Like a little girl, yes, yeah. G.I. Joe toys from your uncles, Anything else old? Really old. Okay, yeah, yes. Lego? Other things, yes. Photograph of your great-grandmother. The whole house. The whole house is old. Well, I have a book that belonged to one of my grandparents. It's a recipe book. And in it are some of the recipes she had, but there's one in particular. It's all brown. Open it up. See what it's for. What is it for? It's in her handwriting. peanut butter cookies. I will never, ever use this recipe, but it's the paper, for those of you who can't see it, it's got oil marks on it. It's yellow and white. And in her handwriting, she's got all the things that you need to make peanut butter cookies. I think she probably used it lots. And for me, this was something that is really old that I'm going to hold on to. But I can't eat the peanut butter, nope. So I want you to keep thinking about ways that your special times that you have with your grandparents, the special ways you connect with them. And if you haven't had that grandpa or grandpa time, think of a way that you might in the future, if they're around, even if they're far away. We're going to sing, and then we're going to head to our children's church classes. I was there to hear your morning cry.
One of the most beloved psalms we hear, the voice of the songwriter, wonderstruck at the steadfast love of God, God's immensity, yet God's intimate knowledge and closeness, Psalm 139. And we'll sing the refrain once and then go into the song. God, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it, O God, completely. You guard me from behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
It is beyond my knowledge. It is a mystery. I cannot fathom it.
Where can I escape from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
Ascend to heaven, you are there. If I lie down in the grave, you are even there.
If I take wing with the dawn and alight at the sea's farthest limits,
also your hand will be guiding me. Your powerful hand holding me fast.
If I say, let the darkness cover me, and my day be turned into night.
Even darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you.
It was you who formed my inward parts. You fashioned me in my mother's womb.
Praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wondrous are your works, that I know very well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was being fashioned in secret, intricately woven in the mystery of clay.
I saw my substance taking shape. In your book, my every day was recorded, even before they came to be. God, you have searched me. You know me through and through.
How deep your designs are to me, O God. How great their number.
But the day of remorse in the sand, I come to the end, I am still with you.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
And know my thoughts.
Watch closely, lest I follow a path of error.
And guide me in the everlasting way. God, you have searched me.
Our second reading is from Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 11 to 16. Today we read from Paul's letter to the church in the early Christian community of Ephesus. In several places in the letter of Paul, we hear him talk of the gifts that the Spirit of God offers to people. In every case, as in today's reading, Paul emphasizes that the gifts are not given for the sake of the individual, but for the sake of the whole community. In Ephesians, Paul gives a special emphasis to the gifts as they lead to growth and maturity in the Christian faith. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Yes.
some of you may not have ever met Marion Best. I was a teenager in Penticton.
Oh, dear.
When Marion was on staff at the Naramata Center, which is all of 25 minutes from where I grew up. My childhood friend Roger Hoffman lived just below Marion and Jack on, what's the road name? I can't even remember
Booth
the road,
road.
Name. We used to tear around their neighborhood. I don't think she knew that at the time. Marion is a lay person in the life of the church who has served the church in a whole variety of different ways. I remember, can we ever forget, conference and general council 1988. There are times when you need folks who are grounded to step into the community, and when they do and participate fully, you know that you're going to be okay. And at that time in 88, you were president of conference, I remember, conference meeting at St. Andrew's Wesley, when we were discerning the, I think, the sexual orientation, lifestyle, and ministry. There was a report that eventually led to a statement that we would ordain and commission anyone regardless of sexual orientation. Guiding us through that tricky waters at conference and later at General Council was Marion. Marion's one of those people that when she's around, you think, okay, we're going to be okay. Recently, you've been doing some work with communities around being an elder in all the best senses of the word, and so it's wonderful to have you among us. We're going to be okay.
Thank you. Will you pray with me? O Holy One, you have searched us and you know us through and through. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. Well, I'm grateful to be here this morning as part of your worship service, and also I will be leading a group from your congregation in the gift of eldering and how do we reclaim that gift. In many cultures, elders are seen as the wise ones and the ones who pass on the community's core values and beliefs to a younger generation. It's not limited by age, but it does require having lived long enough to be able to reflect on that lifetime of living and to be able to realize that living included joys and sorrows, gains and losses, from which one can extract wisdom. It isn't just a matter of living for a long time that makes one wise. It's a matter of reflecting upon one's life and drawing learning and wisdom from those life experiences. Marcel Proust says, "We don't receive wisdom. We must discover it for ourselves after a journey that no one else can take for us and no one can spare us." In the Ephesians passage read this morning, there's a strong call to follow one's vocation, a vocation where one is led by God. Each of us are born with some natural attributes that we often refer to as our gifts, but then we learn certain skills that through our lifetime are useful in our employment, in our homes, in our daily lives, and then there are those spiritual gifts that turn what could be a job into a vocation, into a calling. Elders have spiritual gifts to share, be it whether it be understanding, compassion, deep listening, offering a different perspective, or simply by being there. And these gifts in Ephesians are called into being in order to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, so often we think of the work of ministry being limited to what we do inside the walls of our churches. But in fact, we lay people live most of our lives outside these walls and need to ask ourselves, how are we in ministry in our families, in our neighborhoods, and beyond? That takes self-knowledge, courage, and the reassurance that there will be a community that will support us and that God will be present with us. To be really known by another person is a gift. But to be reassured that God knows us that intimately is a great gift. That's why Psalm 139 is my favorite. The omnipresent Holy One. No matter where I go, God is there. If one's wisdom is going to turn into action that benefits others, there has to be collaboration. People of all ages have to learn from one another and to be in committed relationships with purposeful communication between them. There are no elders without a community. Sadly, we live in a culture that tends to separate the generations. I think one of life's greatest joys is to have multi-generational relationships. To have good friends or relations who are a generation older or a generation or two younger brings a variety of experience and knowledge. It broadens our understanding and it increases the ability for all ages to relate in ever-widening circles. And over the years, churches have been the place where all ages had a sense of belonging. However, many of our churches have become devoid of younger generations. I'm glad to see that you're not one of them. The increase in adult-only living communities. Where I live, there are all kinds of communities where no one can live if they have children or teenagers. And as a result, we don't have children and youth as our neighbors in many places anymore. And to be in relationship with those of a younger generation takes more time and effort than it once did, but it's worth doing. It may be you have children or grandchildren in the 18 to 30 age range that are referred to as young adults. It's important that older generations understand the context these young adults are living in. It's very different from when I was 20. I recently facilitated a weekend with young adults and the leaders who work with them. And we cautioned that we can't make generalizations about young adults since they're not a homogeneous group and they do experience the world in different ways based on their social location, that is, their socioeconomic class, their race, their gender, but some common characteristics stood out. They exist in an instant culture. Instant communication, instant food, instant purchases, instant relationships, and instant information. Technology plays such a prevalent role in young people's lives. They're fluent in new technologies, and the rapid pace at which those technologies change, they have no problem keeping up with. But this can lead to dependencies, both in relation to information and relationships. And there's no shortage of information available to them, but how do they discern the validity and value of the information they access? Many young people experience high levels of pressure when it comes to making choices about education and vocation and choosing a life direction. There are multiple options available to them, and while this may seem attractive, it can also lead to confusion and the inability to make decisions about these future directions. The current economic reality particularly impacts them as costs for education increase and job opportunities decrease. The current younger generation is highly affected by mental health concerns, and there is a high level of depression among young adults. There's been increased attention recently to the increased suicide among this age group, and please to encourage conversation with young adults in homes, schools, and where the young gather. This is a generation that since childhood has grown with a heightened awareness of the ecological crisis. The ways in which young people respond to this and other challenges of our time seem to vary between reactions of despair and hopelessness and apathy to responding with a strong, committed political engagement. To have the love and support of an elder in their lives can be both stabilizing and enriching. However, for the elder, it begins with learning and understanding the culture and perspective of those young adults. Mentoring people from another generation can be highly rewarding. Last year, thanks to Trina, I was asked to mentor some ministers who were going to be involved in an intensive leadership development program. And I was hesitant, having been retired for about 15 years and not sure if my leadership skills were too outdated or rusty to be useful. However, during our time together with four wonderful generation below me people, I learned how deeply integrated my life experience is, and it confirmed for me that being a mentor is not about giving advice. It's about listening, about asking the right questions that will lead a person to a deeper inquiry and will broaden their possibilities while all the time encouraging and supporting them. It was one of the most rewarding tasks I've undertaken, and I felt as though new life had been breathed into my being. Another way of contributing to future generations is to record your life story. If you consider doing this, I think Jim Taylor has some good advice. Recently he wrote, "My mother died when I was 36, and I thought I knew her. And in one sense, I did. She'd been there all my life. There'd never been any family rifts or isolation. But after she died, I realized I knew nothing about how she had become the person I knew so well. I didn't know what kind of school she attended or how they shaped her personality. I knew where her family spent summer holidays, but not what they did there. I knew she taught English, but not what brought her to do that. I knew she'd decided at 30 to become a missionary in India, but I didn't know why. I didn't know if she had any boyfriends before she met my father. I suspected she did not have a happy childhood, because the one time I got her talking about her early life, she started happy and ended crying, so I never pursued the subject again. After her death, I wrote to her sisters, hoping for enlightenment, and they were little help. They told me dates, locations, academic degrees, the kind of information a resume might include, but no stories, no incidents that illuminated her life, no insights into her personality, no anecdotes that might evoke a wry grin of recognition." As I read that piece by Jim Taylor, I thought how precious it is when there's time and space for storytelling, whether it be with peers or between generations. With the so-called baby boomers now reaching retirement, there's an increased focus on aging in healthy, creative ways. Robert Raines is a wise man who refers to aging as a time to live and points to seven creative steps in the aging process. And these are some of the things we're going to explore further in the workshop. These are the underpinnings, he says, for eldering. First is waking up, recognizing your own mortality and realizing that now is the time to engage again in the meaning and direction of your life. Second is embracing sorrow, acknowledging your own losses and grief and pain of others, because it will darken and deepen your humanity, leading to a compassionate person. Third is embracing blessedness, remembering and delighting in all the ways you have been, are, and can be a blessing and a blessed person in your life. Fourth is reimagining work, revising and reviewing ways in which you want to contribute to society, given your gift Complete your life work. Live out your purpose in the years ahead. Fifth is nurturing intimacy, deepening your interconnection with your life partner, your siblings, children, grandchildren, other family members, friends, nature, yourself, and God. Sixth is seeking forgiveness, doing what you can to clear the decks of your relationships so as to enter the later years with an unburdened heart. And seventh is taking on mystery, accepting life and death and exploring the ultimate meaning of your life with thanksgiving and hope. I leave you with a quote from the Biblical Book of Wisdom that offers these images of wisdom. Wisdom is intelligent, holy, unique, clear, unpolluted, loving the good, irresistible, humane, steadfast, sure, free from anxiety, for she is the breath of the power of God. Let us pray. God of power, breathe your breath on us. May your spirit transform us, and may the gifts of your spirit equip us to serve you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
When several years ago we last sang this anthem, I told you about the background of the hymn. While there's nothing so tedious as a twice-told tale, I will perhaps remind you of this powerful story. It's probably appropriate. Horatio Spafford was a successful Chicago lawyer and businessman in the 1870s, and he was happily married, five children, four girls and a boy. And in 1873, his son was taken by scarlet fever and died, leaving him with four daughters. And at the time, he was engaged in large property investments in Chicago, in the newly expanding city. And less than a year after his son died, the great Chicago fire swept through and destroyed all the property that he'd spent much of his fortune on. And he felt that he needed a break, and the family needed a break, so they arranged a trip to England. And his wife and daughters embarked on the ship. He was held back by legal business, and his wife and daughters went ahead to England. And while they were crossing the Atlantic on a foggy night, their ship collided with another. And while his wife survived, all four of their daughters were drowned. And so as he was traveling across the Atlantic to meet his wife in England, the ship passed over the spot where his daughters had died, and the captain, feeling that it was appropriate somehow, called him up to the bridge and said, "This is, as near as we can tell, this is where your daughters died." And Horatio Spafford was moved at the time, and he sat down in the ship's stateroom, and on the ship's paper, in fact the original still survives, he wrote the words to this hymn. And a couple of years later, his friend Philip Bliss wrote this wonderful tune and set it to. So a wonderful response to terrible adversity. So this is "It Is Well With My Soul."
When peace like a river
let us continue in our worship as we bring before God our offerings. The list of spiritual gifts that appeared in our Ephesians reading has reminded me of a ritual that used to happen in the children's church in Salmon Arm when I was there. At offering time, they always did offering during the children's church. They would gather in a circle. Well, children bring all kinds of things to children's church, right? And they learned, as time went on, just by practice and by teaching, that everything they bring, whether it be physical, material, in their hearts, in their minds, in their hopes, and in their dreams, is precious to be offered, precious in the sight of God. So we gather all that we bring and offer it, including these gifts of material, of money, to make the ministry of Northwood and the ministry of the United Church of Canada and our partners possible. We also offer the activities in the life of our church. In the next couple of weeks, we will be journeying through the core story, the core narrative in which we live as Christian people. Next week, Palm Sunday, we will journey to the cross. And we're going to try and do that dramatically. And anyone who would like to participate in that, there's a little sign-up sheet on the kiosk out there. It doesn't involve memorizing lines. It doesn't involve great kind of Laurence Olivier acting. It requires your heartfelt participation. At this point, we have 5 folks signed up. We need probably about 10 or 12. And it would just be to participate in the storytelling part of the service next week. So it's there are a number of ways of learning and living this story, and the most effective is to play it, is to walk through it. And so I'd encourage you to be a part of that. We will all be a part of it next Sunday as well, as we go through the story. And then the following week, Maundy Thursday, there is a service. We're collaborating with neighboring United Churches. There's a service at Cloverdale United Church at 7 o'clock on Maundy Thursday, and on Good Friday at Crossroads United Church, at 10:30 in the morning, there's a Good Friday service. And here, early-ish, depending on, 8 o'clock, hopefully under the trees, we'll gather for an early morning Easter service, and then 10:30 here. And as Marian mentioned, as you have heard, there's the workshop that's happening this afternoon and tomorrow as well, the gift of eldering. There's still room in that workshop, so if you have been so inspired to participate in that workshop, you would be very welcome. So talk to myself or Marian or Carrie, and we'll hook you up with that program. It should be really a great opportunity. There's a whole pile of other things happening in the life of Northwood. On April the 14th, it's a Saturday night, the Vaudevillians will be doing a fundraising show here, fundraising for the food ministries of Northwood United Church. So the variety of ways in which we offer food to those who are hungry in our community. Those tickets are on sale. There you are. And Jerry has tickets. Yep. So that's happening this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Lorraine Foster will be here for a Jazz Vespers service. Coming up down the road, and this is something to think about, Jane Harding is someone who works for the United Church of Canada in the area of financial planning and estate planning and special gifts and gift annuities and all that kind of area, wills and estates. She will be here with a friend of hers, Rosalind Manthorpe, who is a local lawyer who has given her time to this program, for breakfast, 8:30 to 10:30 on a Wednesday, the 18th, to
talk through a whole variety of important kind of practicalities around the last quarter of life. So you're all welcome to be part of that. Breakfast is provided by a group of men in our congregation, so that's happening. Oh, I was also told as I got here today that if you ordered chocolates for Easter, the dealer will pull a car up outside and you can go out and get your chocolates. I mean, yeah, right there. All right. Let us bring before God all that we offer. Let us pray.
Gracious God, you have given us
all that we have and all that we are. You've given us this precious community in which to live and make a difference. So receive these gifts. Bless them with your Spirit. Receive us and bless us with your Spirit that our lives might shine with your radiance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is, I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me.
I'm gonna live.
Amen. Friends, we now go out into the world that God loves so dearly to live so that God can use us, taking all of those gifts, no matter what our age, and offering ourselves, being the conduit of God's Spirit. And so let us go from this place and count our blessings and practice our faith, never looking down on the struggle for life as we experience it in ourselves, as we experience it in others, as we experience it in the world. And know that no matter where we go, the Spirit of God is already at work there. So may the peace of Christ attend us, the love of God surround us, and the Holy Spirit keep us, now and always.